Good morning to everybody out there this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast this morning, and I'd like to also tell you that if you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you to come to Hilltop Baptist Church, where the Spirit of God is working at. We're very, very thankful for our church, and thank God that it takes a stand for the Word of God. Last week, I closed out. I've been doing a series on apostasy in the church, and this is the fourth and probably final sermon in this particular series. But we are living in a day and time when the Church of the Living God is the only organization on the face of this earth that is standing for the truth of the Word of God. We have a lot of churches out there that claim to be the Church of the Living God, but are nothing more than social clubs is what they are. Now, last week I closed out reading in some scriptures in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17, and also 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. And I talked a lot about what would be going on in the church before the Lord Jesus Christ returned. And I'm going to just open back up again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read to you those four verses in verses 1 through 4 in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And I will assure you that that's exactly where we are at today. We have men that are occupying pulpits that will not preach the word. They will not be instant in season or out of season. And what that really means, to be instant in season and out of season, is to preach the truth whether or not it's a popular thing to do. And there's some very, very strong words in that particular scripture there. Reprove, that's a word that tells us that there's going to be some confrontation involved and standing for the truth. Rebuke, that's another one that says there's going to be some confrontation there. It also says that we're to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine is very, very important, and the most perverted doctrine in the New Testament is the doctrine of salvation. We must stand for the truth of the Word of God. We must stand for the truth of the fact that you will not get saved unless you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation without repentance. And we harp and we hit on that very, very hard in all of our preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, what I'm focused upon here this morning is I'm going to talk a little bit more about the shepherds that God has set over the flock and how they are to respond. And this particular age when nobody's standing for the truth, and you can walk into a church and you can pick just about anything you want, any false doctrine you want, you can find a church that is preaching it and will not stand for the truth of the Word of God. And by the way, if you're holding on to any Bible other than the King James Bible, you're not preaching the truth. You're preaching a compromised form of the Word of God. You have what may be a part of the Word of God, but you do not have the Word of God. The falling away from the use of the King James Bible has been one of the hallmarks of the apostasy that has characterized the church today. We forsook the Word of God, and when we forsook the Word of God, we forsook the power of God. God has many things now to say in the Bible about shepherds who will not protect their people. And if you'll allow your people as a pastor or preacher or teacher, and you'll allow them to use any version of the Bible that they want to use, then you're not protecting them from the apostasy of this age. You're not ministering to your people in the proper way. And I'll tell you this too, what has really happened today is we've got a bunch of men and unfortunately women standing behind pulpits that are there for nothing more than the money. They're nothing more than hirelings, and God hates hirelings. Those who would be God's shepherds are to protect the flock from false doctrine. That's what we're to do. Note the following scriptures, and I'm going to do a good deal of scripture reading here this morning because the Word of God can get a whole lot more done than what I can by standing here and talking. If we look at the scriptures in Ezekiel 34, verses 2 through 4, Isaiah 56, verses 10 and 11, Ezekiel 22, 26, Ezekiel 44, 23, Hosea 4, 6, 1 Timothy 3, 3, Titus 1, 7, and 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. I'm going to try to get through some of those scriptures here this morning. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 through 4. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Yea, eat the fat, and ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. That's where we're at in our churches. We have men that are standing behind pulpits that are milking the flock for everything that they can possibly get out of them. Yet they will not stand up and preach the truth. And then let's go into Isaiah chapter 56, verses 10 and 11. This is a very apt description of where we're at today in our churches. And by the way, it's why we don't have any power. The watchman that, when God sets a pastor into a church, that pastor is to be a watchman. He's to be a watchman over the flock. In Isaiah chapter 56, verses 10 and 11 say this, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. So you see, it's all focused upon them. It's all about, what are you going to pay me? How much money are you willing to give me? That's what it's all about. They're in there for the hire of it. They have no understanding. One of the keys here that it says they are all ignorant. You know what they're ignorant of? They are ignorant of the Word of God. They will not stand and proclaim the Word of God. What they're doing is they're scratching people's ears. Remember, I read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says that they have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. We have more teachers in pulpits today than we do preachers. And if you're going to stand up and preach the Word of God, you're going to hurt some people's feelings is what you're going to do. Because most people in today's church walk around with their feelings on their sleeves. And one of the reasons that they do that is because they've not been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Psalm 119 verse 165 says that saved people will not be offended by the preaching of the Word of God. The problem is we have churches full of unsaved people today. Now, Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 26, listen at this. This is a very apt warning for us today. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. That is exactly where the church is today. What is preached from most pulpits and what is taught in most Sunday school classes is an abomination before God. We teach a doctrine in Sunday school classes and from the pulpits that does not line up with the Word of God. And when people look at it, they mock is what they do. When we stand up as preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers, we are to let our people know that there is a difference between the holy and the profane. The holy is that which pleases God. The profane is that which is opposed to God. And our churches are full of those things which are opposed to God. When you'll bring the world's music into the church, and have rock music, a lot of Southern gospel. I could name out a lot of things, contemporary Christian music. There's just a whole gamut of the world's music that has been brought into the church in an attempt to draw people. And I want to tell you this, whatever you draw people with is what you're going to have to keep them with. If you draw them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you draw them with good sound preaching, if you draw them with a requirement that they have to live holy lives, then you're going to build a strong church. But if you draw them with the world's methods, you're going to build a church where they'll be constantly running, and you'll have constant dissension within the body. And one of the reasons is that you're bringing the methods of the world into the church, and God is not going to have that. We have got so many churches in this country today that have had Ichabod written over the doors to them because they have made no difference between the holy and the profane. I'm here to tell you that if I walk into a church and there's no difference between it and some Hollywood movie set, or between a movie theater even, and I walk in and I see that sort of thing, and I see the world's music being played into there, I'm not going to hang around, because the Spirit of God is not in that. What we have done today is we have taken the world's methods and brought them into the church, and we have offended a holy God. God is holy. He expects us to worship Him with holy music. He expects us to preach a holy Bible, not a Bible that has been compromised by a bunch of unbelieving heretics and apostates. If you'll not stand up for the truth of the Word of God, if you'll not stand for a unified, uncompromised standard of the Word of God, and what I'm talking about is the King James Bible, if you'll not stand up and stand for one Bible, one standard, one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, one doctrine of salvation, then you're in the pulpit where you ought not to be at. Okay, now, and because of the way we stand, when somebody walks into a church and they see the, you know, that word profane is the same word we get the word profanity from. It's a curse. And what we're doing is when people walk in and they see no difference between our church and the outside world out there, they don't see any difference between you and them, and they're not going to want what you've got. Now, Ezekiel 44:23 says this, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Now, you'll notice that I read back in, when I read back in Ezekiel 22:26, it's said there that they didn't put any difference between the holy and the profane, and they didn't show any difference between the unclean and the clean. The unclean is the worldly things. The clean things are the things that God requires of us. We're not required to keep the a dress standard. We're not required to keep to do things by our own works to get into heaven. If we're saved, we're going to want to do those things. We're going to want to have things in our lives and in our churches that are going to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, if somebody brings music into your church and it sounds like it come out of a bar, trust me, that's where it came from. It came out of a bar. If somebody brings the world's dress in to the church, trust me, it came out of the world. It did not come from the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's people are required by the Word of God to dress holy. They're required, and yes, they're required to keep the commandments too. They're required to live holy lives. Keeping the commandments is about living holy. And a lot of times we get accused of being legalists because we say that people ought to live holy lives. To require holiness of your people is not being legalistic. Being legalistic is requiring works for salvation. That's what it is. And if you're going to require works for salvation, then it's not of grace. But God expects us to live holy lives. And if you're a pastor out there, you need to shepherd your flock. You need to lead them in the proper path that they need to be going down. And by that, I mean you need to teach biblical standards to them. You need to preach the Word of God to them. You need to preach hell hot and heaven glorious is what you need to do. The admonishment from Hosea 4:6 applies. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. That right there in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 is an admonishment to pastors and preachers that to let you know that the people of God are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And we're not talking about worldly knowledge. We're talking about the knowledge of the Word of God. We're talking about not just a knowledge that's in the head, but we're talking about a knowledge that is evidenced in your personal walk, in your everyday walk that people look and see. I'm here to tell you that more people are going to believe your walk than they are your talk. That's always the case. Most of what I see as Christianity today, I wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because it's no better than what you can find in many bars somewhere. It's full of hypocrisy. Now, let's look also at Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I'm here to tell you that, I'm here to tell you that we probably have more, even King James Bibles out there today than has ever been. We've got the Word of God. It's everywhere. We have free access to it. You've got it on computers. You've got it on internet. You've got it in hard copy. You've got it being preached and proclaimed. But the key is this. The famine is not for having the Word of God, but for hearing the words of God. That's where we're at. And that's what Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And that perfectly describes our time. The Word of God is, in many cases, even in good, fundamental Bible-believing churches, is being preached and proclaimed, but the people are not hearing it. And the reason that they're not hearing it is this. Most of the people, even in fundamental Bible-believing churches, have their roles are loaded up with unbelievers. And if you're not saved, you're not going to hear the words of God. You're not going to be able to pick up on the things of the Word of God and to understand them. And then the other thing is that we're living in the Laodicean church age, and people just will not live holy lives. They're more wrapped up in getting all they can get while they're here. They're not focused upon an eternity that they've got to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not focused upon winning others to Christ. They're not focused upon living holy lives. They're not focused upon loving people and reaching out and ministering to people. They're focused upon themselves and what they can get in this life. Now also, I've talked a lot about what here, the commitment that the man of God is to have. I've talked a lot about it this morning. But there's also some requirements for the man of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 says, talking about the man of God, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Many times we see in that particular series of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, is the requirements for a bishop or for a pastor. And what we see many times in our churches, there's a particular scripture in there that's pulled out and it's preached and harped on many, many times, and that's the one about being husband of one wife. Now, and that's preached, but what is ignored is some of the rest of these requirements that are in there. In that particular scripture, we have the requirement that a man that is going to be pastor over a church has to have his family under control, has to have his children in subjection. They need to be well behaved because the scripture says that if you can't control your own family, then you ought not to think that you could have any control over the church of the living God. That's what the admonishment is. And there's a lot of other things in there, not given to wine. In other words, they're not to be drunkards. You cannot tell me that a Christian can drink alcohol. You're not to be a striker. In other words, you're not to be a violent man. You're not to be guilty of filthy lucre. That talks about money. If your focus is upon money in the ministry, you're not called of God. And also, you're to be patient, not a brawler, not covetous. You're not to be reaching out and saying, I wished I had that which that. I've got a church member that has that. Why can't I have that? God has called you to preach the Word of God, which is the greatest honor that you could ever have. And Titus 1:7 also applies to the pastor too. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filth and lucre. There it is again, talking about the money. And it says a bishop must be blameless. I want to say this about a lot of pastors. Do you know how many pastors and preachers out in many communities will not pay their bills? They just will not pay their bills. And do you realize what a testimony that is to the rest of the world out there if you won't pay your bills? And by the way, that is one of the requirements for a man to occupy a pulpit and to be a pastor. He's to be blameless. If you're not going to pay your bills, the world is going to look at you and saying, and he's supposed to be a Christian, but he's not paying his bills. He's not doing this. It says that you'll be to be blameless. Your conduct is to be above reproach. You can stand in the pulpit and preach against a divorced man being in the pulpit all you want to, or a divorced man being a pastor, but if you'll not abide by the rest of the requirements that are given in that particular scripture, then you're not qualified to be a pastor. Plain and simple. It's not just one requirement that's included in that scripture. And I'm not preaching against that requirement, but I am preaching against preaching that requirement to the exclusion of the others. I'm to remind you that you are to live a holy life. Your conduct as a pastor and a preacher is to be above reproach. When somebody looks upon you, not only should they sense that you're a man of God, but your conduct ought to show that you are a genuine man of God. And by the way, if you're in close contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, if you're in full fellowship with God, I'll guarantee you that there's going to be a witness of the Spirit between you and a lost person, even when you approach lost folks. Okay, now let's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Here's the admonishment to you as a pastor and a preacher and a teacher. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And here it is again, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. If you're a pastor or preacher, you're to feed the flock. In other words, you're to feed them the Word of God. And I know I've hit this thing about not in the ministry for filth and lucre, for money. But I want to remind Christians, if you're sitting out there to listen in this morning, you are to take care of your pastor. You are to pay him and take care of him real well. Because, in fact, the Bible says that the pastor and preacher is worthy of double honor. And in the context where that particular scripture is given at, it's talking about taking care of him financially. You as a Christian, you're not to keep your pastor as poor as you can keep him and try to walk on him. You're not to do that. You're to take care of your pastor is what you're to do. But if you're a pastor and you're in it just for the money, you've not been called of God. Now, we're living in this time, and I've talked about it, and I'm going to hit it again. We've got pulpits full of false prophets. We've got pulpits full of men that are nothing more than ravening wolves. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, we have this scripture. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I want to remind you of something. One of the most quoted verses today in the church today, the professing church, is the very first verse in Matthew chapter 7 where it says, judge not lest you be judged. And there's a problem with that. That thing is always in today's church pulled out of context. What it's talking about is you're not to judge hypocritically, because lo and behold, up in the latter verses in Matthew chapter 7, particularly the verse that I just read in verse 15, it says to beware of false prophets. If we do not judge righteous judgment, how are we going to be able to pick a false prophet from a prophet that is of God? when it is preaching the Word of God. We must make judgments, but they must not be hypocritically. If we have a sin in our lives, we're not to jump on somebody else about it. In fact, I'll say this to you. If you have sin in your life and you're a pastor, you need to get that cleaned up before you start talking to somebody else about their sin. You need to live a holy life if you're a pastor. But false prophets have been a characteristic of this age and will continue to be a characteristic of this age. And woe be unto you if you're occupying a pulpit and teaching false doctrine, either deliberately or ignorantly. As a man of God, you are admonished to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have pulpits full of men that will not rightly divide the truth, and they do it deliberately. They're heretics and they're apostates. And if you'll not stand for the Word of God and preach it in truth, then you don't need to be in the pulpit. Now, I realize that Matthew chapter 24 is talking really, it's focused upon on the great tribulation coming, but it also talks about false prophets. Matthew 24 verse 11 and 12 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And that's where we're at today. There is a false signs and wonders even in our time today, even before the great tribulation gets underway. And by the way, if you're not saved and you've been under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, and you have to go into the tribulation, the Bible says you'll not get saved. I have to warn you that if you're have been under the conviction of God, you need to get saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and it's not very long before he does. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 through 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." That's where we are today, folks, is we have Satan's ministers are in the pulpits of our churches. That's why we have no power. We have churches in America that are slam jam full of unsaved people. And that's why our society is going down and going down in a hurry. And I want to make this statement here too this morning before we close out, and we're getting close to the end of our time. If you're a woman out there, you have not been called to pastor a church. You cannot pastor a church because you do not meet the requirement of being a husband of one wife. You're just not there. And what is God's remedy for false doctrine and false teachers? The Bible says that we are not to fellowship with false teachers and heretics. In fact, Romans 16, verse 17 and 18 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's where we're at. We're to separate from those people. And I want to thank you this morning for listening to us, and this will conclude our series on apostasy in the church. Thank you, and God bless you.